Topic of tonight's share is titled What You Can and Can't Say When Asked About Questions for Shidduchim. It's a very sensitive topic. It's a very serious topic on two fronts. One front is the Lashon Hara element. That's very serious. And the other front is Lo Yisamar Adam Re'echa. Lives can be ruined. People can be ruined. And that's not always permissible as well. So that part of the share we're going to get to B'li Nedar next week. What we're going to get to this week is what's important to ask in the first place. We're going to have to figure out what you're allowed to answer, what you're not allowed to answer. But what I want to discuss in tonight's share is what should people really be asking? What's the Torah outlook and what's important in a spouse or in a potential spouse? So we're going to see some of the questions that are should be asked and are not asked. And then we'll figure out to B'li Nedar next week how to deal with the answers when they come. So there's a very famous Gemara everyone knows. And this is an important Gemara. Because this Gemara is one of the sources in the Chazal that you're supposed to actually ask questions. The whole Shal only gets off the ground because people ask questions. Who told people to ask questions? Let the people go out. He's a boy, she's a girl, let them go out. The answer is no. There is some form of vetting process before we go out. Why is there a vetting process? So they bring a very famous Gemara. Says the Gemara in Baba Basra, number one, Amar Rava, Hanoisi Isha, if a person marries a girl, Tzarech Sheivdaik Ba'acheha, he's supposed to check her brothers. Why is it important to check out the girl's brother? Shenemer, it says in the pasuk, "Vayikach Aaron is Elisheva b'as Aminadav." Aaron took a wife, Elisheva, the daughter of Aminadav, who was Achois Nachshon. She happened to have been the sister of Nachshon. Says the Gemara, "Mimashma Shenemer b'as Aminadav." Any idea she Achois Nachshon? We know that. Once you tell me who Elisheva was and she was the daughter of Aminadav, I happen to know that Aminadav had a daughter and Aminadav had a son. His son was Nachshon and his daughter was Elisheva. Why is it relevant to the storylines? Like the Gemara, Ma'ata Meloimer Achos Nachshon Mikan says the Gemara, Shanoise Isha, someone who marries a woman, Tzarich Sheivdak Ba'acheha. You need to check into her brothers. So reference number one that should be made in the Shidduchim world is look into the girl's brothers, find out what their background is, what they're all about, and that should be, so when you're calling up information, it's not so much about the girl. You're calling up around that, find out about her brother. Says the Gemara, Tana, Raiv Bonim, most boys, most kids, doimim la achei ha'em. They follow after the brothers of the mother. Seems like there's some scientific statement over here. La achei ha'em. So the Gemara has this comment over here that tzarech sheyivdak b'acheha. You need to. So this is an important halacha. You see from this Gemara that this is one of the reference points. And when looking into a shidduch, when you want to ask questions, whatever those questions are going to be, they should somehow reflect not the girl yet, but reflective of her brothers, because that's going to play an important role. Now, every Sheva brachas you go to, or at least the Shabbat Sheva brachas, the girl, the brother of the kala gets up and says how he's the reason why she gets married. I said that at a couple of my sister Shabbat Sheva brachas, right? Because of this Gemara. Now, if you know a little bit more than just Gemara, we're going to find out that this is not found anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. It's not found anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. It's one of those many Gemaras that we often come across that although they sound like everyone knows this Gemara. Rashi quotes in the Chumash, everyone knows this Gemara. But when you take it to the next step and you ask them, by the way, where is it in Shulchan Aruch? Silence. Because it's not anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. It's like the other famous Gemara, Mishenichdas Adam Arba B'Simcha. Everyone knows that song, and everyone says, oh yeah, it's a Gemara. 100% right. Where is it in Shulchan Aruch? Nowhere. Not in Rif, not in Rambam, not in Rosh, not in, nowhere. First time it appears is in the Magen Avraham. So here also, this is one of those very famous Gemaras everyone lives by, right? Everyone's so into this, yet it's not found in Shulchan Aruch, which we'll have to figure out why is it not found in Shulchan Aruch. So the Birchas Avraham, Rabbi Avraham Erlinger, who we often quote more in the Sunday morning Shurim, one of the Magid Yeshurim called Torah in Eretz Yisrael, so he just asks a question over here, just like a basic question in the Gemara. He wants to know, like, what's the chap over here? What is the connection between the girl and her brothers? Is there like a scientific connection? Is there something, DNA based? Or this is just, what they're used to seeing? He clears the following shayla. Second line. Im zeh inyan tiva b'segula satachuna? Is this just natural that the girl will be reflective of her brothers? Meaning, if the brothers like to play ball and like to follow the Mets, I mean, she's going to like to play ball and be a Met fan and like to eat, a spicy food or whatever guys do and drink, whatever. I don't know. No, it's a different lomdus. It's not just because they grew up in the same house. There's a certain tendency that girls are closer to their brothers. And they follow like them. It's an interesting shayla, he clears the Birchas Avraham. Give you some material for Sheva Brachas, perhaps, Drasha. Says the Birchas Avraham, is the pshat because it's natural, it's in the DNA, or no? It's reflective of the upbringing. The girls look up to their brothers, so if their brothers are a certain way, the girls will be that way also. He says, what's the simple nafkimina? Pa'oifin sho'achim einam b'shalom imo. Let's say they don't get along. Let's say the brothers don't live at home. Let's say the brothers haven't been at home since they were 14 years old. They went to out-of-town yeshivas. They come in once every 6 weeks. They barely talk to each other. So then what are you going to tell me? The boy's reflection of what's the connection? The girl has no idea what her brothers do. They're in yeshiva all day long. She has no idea what they're doing. There's absolutely no connection. She's in a different community. She has nothing to do with them. So this is very negabez manazeh. Today the families are very spread out. Everyone's doing their own thing. Today you can live in the same house and they don't even talk to each other, right? But nonetheless, if this has to do with some form of a reflection of the boy to the girl because of their relationship, so today you have to know if that still carries any form of weight. The Arachayim HaKadosh has a famous piece in Parashas Toldos. The beginning of Parashas Toldos, the Torah goes out of its way to remind us who Yitzchak and Rivka were, what their background is. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us who Yitzchak was and who Rivka was. So the Arachayim HaKadosh points out, why is it so important for us to know the background of who Rivka was, says the Arachayim HaKadosh in number 3. That because the Pasuk needs to tell us this because Ki Husiba L'Dover HaYoyis Achois Lov and Harami. Because what does the Pasuk tell us? Give us the whole background. Achois Lov and Harami Loyli Isha. Why is that so important? He says because that explains where Esav came from. You want to know where did Esav come from? I'll tell you where Esav came from. Look at the mother's brothers. That's where Esav came from. So the Torah is laying out for us an explanation. How could someone like Yitzchak and Rivka produce an Esav? It's because of this Gemara. Says the Arachayim HaKadosh, Kakad Muchazal. Roiv HaBonim Doim Malachia Eim Betama Yedua. As everyone knows that's how the traits work. And therefore, it's not a question. It shouldn't come as a shock to us that Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Rivka produce an Esav because of the tendency of this Gemara. Now the Kasha then is, so why would they marry? Why would Yitzchak take a wife if the Gemara says he's supposed to look into the brothers and they were no great shakes? So we'll have to discuss that a little bit in a minute. If you look over here, number 2b in the Sefer State Seifim, he quotes a very nice Chidah. The Chidah writes that the remez to the idea of a isha tzorch shehivdak ba'achel is meramez in the words eishes chayal miyimtza. Rosh Tevas achim. What are the Rosh Tevas of that line? Eishes chayal miyimtza are the brothers v'haynu shehivdak ba'achim. If you want to find a real Eishes Chayil, how do you find an Eishes Chayil? Ba'achim. Look at her brothers. If they're reflective of that lifestyle, then you know the type of girl that you have. So the Arachayim HaKadosh, as we mentioned before, is telling us that the explanation to how an Esav could come about is due to the fact that Rivka came from such a family. So if you look over in the Sefer Daf Al Daf, it's a great Sefer on Shas. So he quotes the following observation. He says, "Umushum ze Yaakov Avinu lo hirtzoich livdik ba'achel." Why didn't Yaakov look into the brothers? So he says, Shari lo hayu la'achim. Because they didn't have any brothers. Rachel and Leah had no brothers. Ulefichach miyad kishi Yaakov avinu rosh Rachel ba matzoin ve'in la'achim. How did Yaakov know there were no brothers? Because why were the girls doing the work? There must have been no brothers. Because why would any father send his daughters out to do a man's job? It's not safe. It's not socially accepted back then. So Elamai, there must be no brothers. Oh, so he said to himself, oh, I don't have to worry about the brothers. They're not around. So he said, oh, once I know she's good, I don't have to worry about the brothers. So maybe it's a perk to go out with a girl that has no brothers. You don't have to worry about this extra step of looking into the brothers. The state Seifim quotes a very cute var from the Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe was with Moshe Teitelbaum. He was the first, again, it wasn't the Satmar Chassidus, but he was the father of Satmar Chassidus. And he quotes a var like this. He says, L'kach hayu amuseinu akaris. He says, why were all our great Imois Akaris? Why couldn't Sarah have children? And why was it so hard for Rivka to have children? So he says, Pashat, they all had bad brothers. And we have this rule that the brothers, the children, are going to take on the tendencies of the mother. That's if it's a natural baby. A natural born baby will take tendencies of its uncles. But because all our imois were unable to have children, they didn't give birth on their own merit, natural births. Rak al pines, their birth were miracle births. Ah, miracle births, they don't follow this rule of the Gemara. This rule of the Gemara is for natural births. Regular people that have babies, the babies will follow their uncles. But since the imois had special babies, they had miracle babies are all bets are off, and therefore all bets are off, and that's why they were able to have the great tzaddikim that they were. Okay. So the question, this is just a little drush, just to make things funny. Now, the question is, how far are we supposed to take this halacha? In all seriousness, a boy is read to a girl, who looks into the brothers, and they're not wonderful people. They're off the derech, they're at risk, whatever word you want to use. Should this really be a shidduch breaker? Should you say, that's it? The Gemara says, end of the story. So the Stipler is quoted in the Sefer Arachas Rabbeinu, where he says that may be true in the times of the Gemara, but not so today. Why? What's the difference? So he says a beautiful idea. Amali Ma'ivi Rebbe, he's referring to the Stipler. It says he's supposed to look into the brothers of the mother. That's when everyone was religious. The Gemara's talking about everyone was religious. And the one brother was troubled. That's indicative that there's something wrong with the family. If one of the children are off, it means there's something wrong with the chinuch in the home. He says, today it's rampant problems. Everything seeps in. It's not a reflection of the home. The parents could be wonderful people, but you can't fight society that we live in today, and the culture came with technology and all these things. It's not a reflection of the home. Therefore, he says, what he wants the father? The father's a wonderful guy. He sent him to the best yeshivas, but he got exposed to things he shouldn't have got exposed to. It's not a reflection on the parents' upbringing. It used to be, if a kid went off the derech, that was because in the home, they weren't teaching the proper values. But today, that's not the case. Today, you see, we see this with our own eyes. Wonderful families, wonderful parents, wonderful siblings. But Nebuch, the kid got caught up with the wrong group and the wrong yeshiva, whatever it may be. Therefore, says the Stipler, based on this, it doesn't show that there's something wrong with the family. Therefore, we should go on with the shidduch as long as the girl's a good girl. That's not reflective. Don't allow her family to be reflective of her. Very important idea, says the Stipler. I think it's so even more so today. Fast forward. Don't allow the family members to reflect her. If she's a good girl, go with it. I, her brothers, I, the Gemara, yeah. That was back then. Today, there's a million reasons why he had a bad Rebbe in third grade, and then he went to the wrong summer camp, and his parents got him a cell phone too early. Whatever the reasons are why kids go off, don't allow that to reflect on the girl herself. Very important halacha from the Stipler.
It's interesting. It's without the Stipler, so any girl that has a brother that's a problem, she can never get married.
Oh, we're going to talk about it. That Chorim talked about, let's say you go out with a girl, and you're engaged to her. Then you find that they forgot to tell you that there's a brother off the derech. You want to call off the shidduch. So can you call off the shidduch? This is the Gemara makes it sound like this is so important. So we'll see in a second how that Achronim deal with it. Now I mentioned before that it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch this din. So that right away should lead you all to believe that it can't be, you know, it's not in Shulchan Aruch. It is in the Chai Adam. Okay, it is brought down in the Chai Adam. If you look at number 7, the Chochmas Adam, which is the Chai Adam, he writes, you should always try to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, which we'll get to a little later tonight as well. You should try to marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. Check the brothers. If they fear Hashem, v'tzadikim, v'loimdim. So what are you looking for in the brothers? That they're righteous people. Because many of the children will go after the brothers of the mother. Pasha worried about what your kids are going to look like, so therefore making the investment. So it is brought down in Chai Adam, although it's not brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. So the question is, why is it not found in Shulchan Aruch? So the Sefer Tel Talpiyos, it's one of those kuntresim. He quotes from somebody, he makes the following diyuk. He says, you have to go through all of Shas, and whenever the Gemara says the Lashon Tzarech, does that mean you must? It means like it's a good idea, as opposed to chayiv. The Gemara could have said, "Amarav anoyis isha chayiv." You have to. Now, Pashim Shah, you don't have to do anything. If you want to marry a bad girl, that's your business. You know, it's not Chazal's problem. We're here to give you advice. Our advice is looking to the brothers. If you decide you don't care, you know, you can't say you're doing anything wrong. That's Pashim Shah why he says tzarech. We're giving you advice. We can't force you. But he makes the diak in number 8, Lefizi Yeshlem, it's been easily done. Kivin Shirova Omad, Anois Isha Tzarech, Shiavzik Bachel, Ve'inu Chiv Gomer, Elamitzer Namuvchor. It's not a halacha. It doesn't mean you have to. It's a good idea. It's a good advice. Ulechain, a Rambam, Vishokhan Arch Gamkin, Lo Heviu Dinzer. That's why none of them bring this halacha. Kivin Shaini Elamederecham Musar. You don't have to. I would suggest perhaps another pshat. The reason why it's not brought down in Shokhan Arch is like what the Stipler said. As time changed, this halacha changed. In the times of the Gemara, this was taka sacred. Even in the times of the Rishonim, when there was outside influences that could affect the status of the family, so therefore it's no longer true. We no longer say that the brother is reflective of the girl, and therefore you don't have to worry about the brother's status. The Marsham was discussing a Shiloh, as does the Stipler in the Sefer Karna d'Igrisa. What happens if you read to a girl, you go out with her, you're engaged, and then you find out there's skeletons in the closet, they forgot to tell you that there's a brother who's not from... Okay, is that enough of a reason to call off the shidduch? The Gemara says you're supposed to look into the brothers, and now you find that the brothers are not upscale members of society. You want to call off the shidduch. So the Masham, again, keep in mind when the Masham lived. The Masham lived the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s. So he writes the following. He says, She'ilosoi b'ish echo sh'nishtadich im b'noi me'ir ar shuvav v'achkach noida asher ache amushadeches, the brother of the girl, kilkul ma'isav b'ir b'macholos asuruis v'chol Shabbos kodesh. He's off the derech. He eats treif and he's mechal Shabbos. U'mosu v'rotzo l'natak ha'kesher. You want to break off the shidduch? Seems like a fair argument. So he writes over here, no. He says, keep him came, gam benidon didon, aim biadeno lahatel vatal kesher. Keep having the same rabbin, chilo shabbos kodesh, o mosavach, o macholos asur, shchichi bizman hazeh. It's normal today. It's, you know, again, talking about late 1800s. Kosh again today, it's normal. This is not like, wow, I can't believe it, unbelievable, you know, it's crazy. So he says, therefore, there's no heter to break off the shidduch. Someone asked the same question to the stipler. The stipler in his letter is kind of digrisa. Someone asked the stipler, what do I do? How far should I look into the brother? And he writes something very powerful. He writes, number 10, he says, first of all, let's say the girl's got five brothers, and four brothers are all wonderful members, and one guy went off. Says the stipler, for sure go after the roif. There's no question. One, but okay, that's for, even if you're going to be makbid on this halacha, one brother, if the roif is good, that's good enough to go. Why do you think the kids are going to go after the one troublesome? The nephews are going to look up to their uncles. Which uncles are they going to look up to? The good uncles, the roif uncles, not the minority uncles. After most people don't take this halacha so seriously, if the shidduch itself is a good shidduch, so says the stipend, no one's machbar on this today. The fact that the girl has a brother who's off the derech, so what? No one seems to look at that as a big deal. And therefore, we apply the principle, Shoyim Epsoyim Hashem, Hashem guards and protects the foolish. It's what everyone's doing today. And then he writes, Ubefrat benidin didon, shenira, sheyish shvichas domim neiros amushadechas. You're going to kill the girl. I'm just going to ruin the girl's life. Im yisbat la'ashirach. If you're going to ruin the shidduch over this girl because her brother, what do you want from her? Because her brother did something that he shouldn't have. You're going to hold it against her. And this is perfect for this guy. This girl's good for him. You're going to tell him he's going to dump this girl because of her brother. He maybe won't find a better girl. Then he's going to be single for a long time, and that's not good. And from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch left out this halacha nira, she'ein ze'el beged the midas chasidus of lo yisr. So this disciple basically repeating what he said in Archas Rabbeinu, similar to what we saw earlier. This is not a halacha. People take this so seriously. Yeah, it's nice. The Gemara brings it down. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Is it always a reflection we saw earlier? Maybe not even a reflection. Just because the brothers are not necessarily upscale members doesn't mean the girl's not a wonderful girl. Either brothers, the kids will come out like that. The nephews will be a product of their uncles, lav dafka. Maybe not. So therefore, many poskim can say right away that's not... So that's one of the questions that people are very into today. How are the brothers? The answer is, don't worry so much about the brothers. That's the Siman Shochanah that talks about all the psulim you shouldn't marry. We'll get to that later tonight. There where the Shochanah talks about all the people you shouldn't marry, it never says, oh, and don't marry a girl whose brothers are not from. So, Shochanah doesn't think... But again, this is something people are very machbed on. They take this very seriously. You have to know the family dynamics. Sometimes it is reflection, sometimes it has nothing to do with it. The girls and the boys live two different lives because that's just the way they're, you know, the father raised the boys and the mother raised the girls, whatever the case may be. That was the, you know...
Closing the question that you wouldn't think there would be something like this regarding the parents of the child.
What do you mean?
The parents of this woman or this girl, you would think you would look at that as an influence.
So we're going to see in a second. That's going to be important also. Okay, we have this Gemara. The Gemara says that when you're looking for a wife, you're supposed to look into her brothers. So the question is, do you take this Gemara so seriously? A guy's read a shidduch, and he finds out that the girl is a wonderful girl, parents are wonderful people, but all the brothers are off the derech. So she just nicks the shidduch right away, nothing to talk about. The Gemara says that that's not a good idea. The answer is probably not. I don't think that's a reason to nix the shidduch. I think you should look into it. But that's what we're saying, that this Gemara is not necessarily etched in stone. Reb Shach is quoted number 11, also in this Sefer Tel Talpiyos, they quote Reb Shach. I'd move up in Mechtovim, Mamorim, Lamorim, Agoyim. Pshach Tzatzal. The Masha Chazal Roiv Bonim Doim Elachim. What does it mean that most children are like their uncles? Right? That's the Gemara. The Gemara said, and that's why you should look into the uncles. If the uncles are off the derech, so you're going to have kids that are going to go off the derech. The uncle's wild. He's a party animal. You're going to have kids. The uncle is an alcoholic. The kids are going to be alcoholics. That's the Pasha way you read the Gemara. That's why everyone is so nervous when they look into a Sherech and they see that the brothers are questionable. That means, oh, the kids are going to be questionable. Says Reb Shach, Enei Omer Elinyin Amidas Vatechunois and Afshois Shebos B'derech Klal B'Teirasha. Those are, let's say, tendencies that are family-based. You know, he'll be a certain way. He'll be angry, he'll be lazy, he'll be tired, things like that. Avo binyoni deis, but let's say hashkafic values. You're not yerish hashkafic values. Meaning, if the uncle has a kuruma way of looking at Torah, and he doesn't have value to Tamid HaChacham, doesn't mean the nephew is going to look at his uncle and be like, yeah, I have the same DNA as him, and therefore I'm also going to hate Rabbanim. That's not true. Deis and hashkafas are not like that. That's not the same thing. Those things are bechira. You can choose. So because the let's say you have a girl whose brothers are kruma hashkafas. They don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, and they don't treat Rabbanim properly. That doesn't mean the nephews are going to be like that. Deis, everyone decides their own deis. Certain tendencies, let's say, certain basic, you know, things that are you know, based down, passed down. You know, for example, certain abilities or lack of abilities, you know, being angry quickly, you know, things like that. Perhaps that is. But anything that's in deis, says Reb Shach, that's not going to affect it. So if he doesn't know how to learn, that doesn't mean that's going to be passed on to the nephews. Deis is something that everyone's on their own with. Even though we mentioned that most of the Achorim seem to believe that this Gemara is not halacha l'maisa, they quote from the Sefer Hasidim, number 12. Although it's not a real obligation to have to check into the brothers, you can marry a girl whose brothers are tzaddikim, and you decide you're going to go the opposite way. You're going to make a statement to the world. You're going to marry the girl who's wonderful with all the bad brothers. You're going to be held accountable for producing, setting yourself up to have children that are going to be like their uncle. So this Sefer Hasidim is against everything we said. Okay. So if you want to be makbir for the Sefer Hasidim, go for it. But most of the Achrein and the Stipler and others, they seem to be of the opinion that this is not necessarily etched in Son Allah Chalmais. Yeah.
I don't mean to sound like AOC here or something, but what does anyone think you've got to do the opposite way? The girl should look into the brother,
nope.
The guy's sister.
That's not what the Gemara says.
No, I'm saying that's not what the Gemara says, or look into her brothers or something like
nope.
That.
No, that's not what it says. Okay. There's a question of why it is that way, but the pashtus is again. The pashas is however you're going to understand the Gemara, and you take your own understanding of why one is a reflection of the other, but the Gemara has it this way for some strange reason. I was waiting for someone to say, whatever happened to the girl? I thought we're supposed to care about the girl, right? So there's a Me'iri. There's two very gewaldic Me'iris on the sugya. One is a Me'iri in Shabbos. Says the Me'iri, number 13. There's a lot of things you need to look into before you marry a woman. Mitzad Isha, mitzad Yichusa, v'kroyveha. Got to look at her yichos. Got to look at their family. Like it says in the Gemara. Mikamoka b'mido iseho. Roy Lidik Biyoser. The most important thing is to look into her. How does she behave? How does she interact with people? Sheras Isha Mecha'eves Leiv Benzuga Lios Koyama Michuavim. She's going to ruin your life. She's a miserable person to live with or to deal with. You will be a miserable person, says the Iri. Ashi Yisya'ish Leiv Mikoltev. You're going to give up. And from all good in the world, Derek Tzokis Amru, okay. So the Me'iri is telling us, don't forget, all this is fine and dandy. But if the report comes back and says the brothers are all wonderful guys, but she's a horrible person. She's not nice to her friends, she's not nice to her family. Drop the shidduch right away. Because nothing is more important than having a person who is a good person. Yeah?
Do we only care if the brothers went off the derech, or also if they were never on the derech? Again, the chief
of So we're going to talk about that a little later. It's going to get really controversial. Yeah, we're going to talk about that hopefully sometime tonight, what happens in those types of cases.
What about the parents? I think the parents are the most influenced on the trial.
You would think, right? That's what, yeah. So we're going to talk about the parents also. We're going to get a line from the Chazon Ish about the parents also. Okay, so we know that the question number one is it's not so important about the brothers. Okay, so what else is important when looking for a potential spouse? Says the Gemara in Pesachim number 19. Another very famous Gemara everyone throws around during Sheva Brachas Torah. Tan Rabbanan. A person should sell all that he has, sell all his real estate, sell all his stocks, sell all his cars, in order so he can marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. You yourself. When you're looking, again, usually today the guys are getting married, they don't have anything to sell. They don't own anything. Single guys have no money, they don't have jobs yet. But okay, back in the Gemara, they had money. So if you have money when you're getting married, so you should sell everything you have and marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Loi Motza Bas Talmud Chacham. Let's say she's not available, or she doesn't want to marry you for whatever reason. So Yisa Bas Gedolei Hadar. So you should marry the daughter of the Gedolei Hadar. So we always think that Gadol Hadar is higher, right? So what does Rashi say? What's a Gadol Hadar? Anshei Maisa V'Tzadikim. Good people. Righteous people, people who do things. I guess today we'd call them askonim. That's what we call them today. Right after you can't marry the Roshiva's daughter, okay, next thing is you marry the Askin's daughter. Now today, a lot of the askonim are quite wealthy, but okay, we'll get to that maybe at some point also tonight. So that's the next in the line. Whatever, you can't get that. Loi motza bas gedolei yisabas Rosh Knessius. You marry the daughter of the Rosh of the shul. Loi motza bas Rosh Knessius yisabas gabait stoka. You marry the daughter of the gabait stoka. Loi motza bas gabait stoka yisabas malam de tinaikis. Marry the daughter of the elementary school rabbi. That's the Malam de Tinaikis. But v'lo yisabas ame oritz. Under no circumstance are you allowed to marry the daughter of an ame oritz. Mishem sheketz. They are an abomination. V'nishusem sheretz. V'al b'nesenu oim yoru shochavim kol behim. So what's the one thing you want to ask in Shidduchim? Does the father of the girl know how to learn? Because if he's an ame oritz, no tzedusha. That's the first question. Now we're going to have to see, what exactly is an ame oritz? Right, we all have in our mind, the guy doesn't know how to learn Pshat and Reb Chaim. That guy's the Amoritz, right? The guy doesn't know how to learn up a Rambam, he's an Amoritz. Probably not.
That would eliminate most of them.
A lot of people, right? Right? We got a big problem today. Forget the Shidduch Christ. We have a whole new Shidduch Christ. Zok Rashi in the Gemara. Well, so we know already. Gedolei Hador means they're righteous people. What's a Bas Gabet Stoko? Shem Emanim Elim Kein Toivim V'Nemonim. It means something to be in charge of tzedakah. To be in charge of any charity means you have to be honest. Because look what happens in the secular world. All those people that deal with non-for-profit, they're all smuggling the money. It's not kosher money. So if you're married the daughter of the gabbai tzedakah, although maybe it doesn't sound like the most prestigious job, it's a chash of a job. It means he's honest. We're seeing a trend over here that what we're looking for is honesty. You want a father, you want a girl whose father is honest. Right? That's a very, very important midah. So he says, same sheretz, einam zehiris b'mitzvahs. Their wives are like bugs, shvatzim, because they're not careful in mitzvahs. Okay, so what does it mean to be an amoritz? So the Mishnah Berurah, out of all places, Mishnah Berurah quotes in Hilchos Eruvei Tchumen. I didn't put it there, I forgot to mention it. It's a siman tough, I believe it's tough, tezvav, or tough kuf tezvav. Chelik dala, the forsaken chelik of Mishnah Berurah, where he talks about Hilchos Eruvei Tchumen. So he writes over there, what's the taitch of a amoritz? Says the Mishnah Berurah, because he's talking about the famous Gemara that says, Bas Talmud Chacham L'Amoritz in a Sudas Mitzvah. The daughter of a Talmud Chacham marries an Amoritz, it's not a Sudas Mitzvah. Ubechubas Chavis Yoyer. We call very often the Chavis Yoyer. Lived about 300 years ago. Because of the Achshav Ein Lanu Amoritz. We don't really have Amoratzim. Back then they didn't have Amoratzim. Today, for sure, Shedibu Chacham Kam Im Loi Kishiyadu Hashem Mizalzalim B'Mitzvahs. You know what Amoritz is? A person who just doesn't, is mizalzel the mitzvahs. Not a guy who doesn't know how to learn up a shtickle gemara. That's not an Amoritz. A person who's mizalzel. He takes all the mitzvahs and makes jokes of them. Nothing's important. And nothing's value. The mitzvahs don't count. Most Baal-Batim are not like that, Baruch Hashem. They take Torah mitzvahs very seriously. So that, according to this Mishnah Berurah, then this gemara is not so negatos. Marrying the daughter of Amoritz, most of the people are not Amoratzim today. Amoratzim doesn't mean they don't know how to learn. Amoratzim means they're mizalzel mitzvahs. Most of us are not mizalzel mitzvahs, hopefully not on purpose. Maybe accidentally we're mizalzel mitzvahs, but most of us try to keep mitzvahs. We value mitzvahs, we treat mitzvahs with respect. So pashtas, most of us will not fall under the category of an Amoritz. Hopefully we don't fit that category. Shulchan Aruch writes in number 21, Evan Ezra Simon Beis. This is in Shulchan Aruch. You should always try to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. And you should try to marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. You can't find that Yisabas. Then he goes to the whole Gemara. Fine. Says the Ramah. This is where the Mishnah Berurah got it from. What's an Amoritz? Not a guy who doesn't know how to learn, a guy who's not medakti b'mitzvahs. Then he quotes another very controversial halacha. There's a mitzvah to marry your niece. This is based on a Tosfos in Yevamos. There's actually a mitzvah to marry one's niece. Depends which niece we're talking about. We're talking about a niece from your sister or a niece from your brother. So the Ramah has two shittas. Okay. Not so calm today. You don't hear so many stories of people marrying their nieces. But here he writes over here, mitzvah. How is a mitzvah of a person to marry his niece?
Does that supersede the Bas Talmud Chacham?
I'm not sure. I don't know if that's even more important than that. Yeah. But here, this is a halacha that most of us are not so nizirin. Now, comes along the Taz, and this is a very important halacha. Says the Taz, Nira Pirush Ledvar. He wants to explain Rashi. What did Rashi say? That why is the wife of an Am Ha'aretz a Sheretz? Because they're not careful in mitzvahs. He quotes the other Rashi. Says the Taz, Nira Pirush Ledvar. The Teva Hanoshim Sheivatlu Balei Mitoya Bishvil Shem Sovrim Shemikayach Ze Yasku Bishcheir of Yelam Toiva Ba'ilam Azeh. Why do wives don't push their husbands to learn? Because they tell their husband, if you, instead of learning, you'd go to work, I'd have more jewelry. Right? If you'd stop learning so much and get a job, or stop learning so much and work more hours, we'd have more pleasure in this world. That's what the Taz writes. If you just learn, that doesn't help me, doesn't feed the kids, doesn't pay the bills. That's the mistake. So he says, it's not true. Says the Taz, that's the problem with marrying a girl who was raised in a home that Torah is not front and center. Says the Taz, let's say you want to go out with a girl whose father is an Amor, doesn't know anything about anything. But she went to the finest schools, and she understands that Torah is the most important thing in the world. So you say, the Gemara says the Taz, no. The aim was an Isser Mitzad Shevi Amoritz. Then there's no Isser. What's the Isser of marriage? Because she was raised with corrupt values at home. She was raised from parents that thought that Torah was not important. However, says the Taz, if she was raised in a home, if she picked up on her own through school, friends, seminary, whatever it is, that Torah is front and center, so who cares about her parents? It's a very important halacha. Very people are so concerned about the parents, says the Taz, doesn't matter. If she got a good education on her own and she has the real values, who cares? Let the parents think what they want. Let the father does. It doesn't matter. There's no problem. You can marry such a girl based on that. That's right. Right. Yeah. We mentioned that in the beginning. Yeah. The Birki Yosef Givaldik over here. This is two very important Birki Yosef. The Chida. Again, remember when the Chida lived? Late 1700s in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Birki Yosef, Lufizeh, Imhibas Oshir. Let's say you have a girl whose father's a big Amoritz, but he's very wealthy. Umaspik L'sitnoi Kasher Osir Rabim in a Divi Om. And he's willing to support. He's willing to allow you to learn. So he said it goes back to that Taz with the Rashi. Why don't we want you marrying a girl whose father's an Amoritz? Because she was raised with values that it's all about going to work. But if the father's an Amoritz, but he wants to support you in learning, so what's the problem? Marry him, no problem. A lot of people are saying this Birki Yosef. They use this Birki Yosef, right? Because he's going to support you. Then he quotes another Birki Yosef. Number 24. Let's say you know that for you to marry the daughter of a big Rosh Yeshiva is not going to work out well for you. It's not going to be good for you. You need to marry a girl, daughter of a simple guy. You'll be much better off. Says the Birki Yosef, then avad to go with that one. So he writes, go with the girl that's just going to make you happy. He says, if marrying this type of girl, that girl, it's going to just make you crazy because you're going to be in the limelight, you're going to be in the spotlight, they're going to make you nuts, and you're not going to be able to do the right way of serving Hashem. Forget all that and marry the girl that's right for you. I think that's a very important Birkei Yosef to remember for life, that, you know, this is all fine and dandy, but if it's not going to work for you, then it's not a good option.
I mean, everything here is advice.
That's right, it's advice. But if it doesn't fit for you, because if you're marrying the Reshiva, that means you're going to have to start saying Shurim, and you're not ready, and you want to be able to learn, so it's not a Shurim. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, another important idea. He writes, he says he's supposed to marry good families. Let's say you marry a girl who's not so good, but because she's pretty. Or because she has money. You will have children that are not good. And even the money that you married for will also not be around. Let's say you married a wonderful girl. You married her for her money, but she happens to be a good girl also. If not for her father being wealthy, you would have taken a different girl. Okay? I don't know if that's going to be your opening statement at the Sheva Brachas, but okay. Nonetheless, says Rosh Hashanah, it's not an Aveira. It's not a bad move. If you yourself are Talmud Chacham, again, this is not me, this is the Rosh Hashanah. Late 1800s, says Aruch HaShulchan, if you want to be able to learn, and you have a girl, and she happens to be a wonderful girl, and her father is willing to give you the money, and you're only dating her because of that, it doesn't make you a bad guy. Can the world of Shidduchim today guys get these, oh, you're doing that, says Aruch HaShulchan, assuming she's a good girl, A lot of good people do that. They take Talmid Chacham for their daughters, they give them a lot of money. They support them. There's no greater mitzvah than that. And they will have atzlocha in their parnasa. When one supports their children in learning, they have avtocha that they themselves will be matzliach in their business. A beautiful avtocha from the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, just to balance this out with the very comment from the Chelkas Yoyev. Chelkas Yoyev lived in the late 1800s. He was a Rav. And he writes, at the end of his Shas and Shuvah Sefer, there's a whole write-up by his son-in-law. His son-in-law talks about his father-in-law, he talks about his own life. And he says the following thing about his father-in-law, the Chelkas Yoyev, the great Rav. He says, when he was looking for a shidduch for his daughter, the only thing he cared about was that he has good midas. He'll learn Torah later. Now he doesn't know how to learn, fine. He'll sit with me, he'll hang out with me, I'll teach him how to learn. Has to be in the blood. You can't teach good midas. If he doesn't have it, so this son-in-law writes about himself. He says, when I was read to him, whatever worked out, I was able to marry his daughter. So that's a very important lesson. Let's not lose sight over the fact that we're looking for people that have midas is more far, a lot further, whether or not he knows how to learn Rambam. It's not going to get you too far changing diapers and cleaning up supper, whether or not you know what Reb Chaim meant or Reb Chaim didn't mean, how many times you can explain a Rambam. It does not make you a better father or a better husband. But again, there's something to it nonetheless. Then we'll just round off with the Me'iri. Says the Me'iri, the Oilam Yizor Adab in Nesuav, you should always be careful with your marriage. Livdek Acher Isha B'Mdinaseha. Emi Kabdonis V'Ragzonis. If she makes a big deal of everything, she's machpin on everything. Everything has to be this way, and everything's a big deal. Em Noicha V'Shlamonis. If she's easygoing. Again, this is the Me'iri Lushitasai. The Me'iri told us already before, Mesach HaShabbos, that don't forget, all this stuff is fine and dandy. Her father, her brothers, but don't forget about her. If she is not living a life that's manageable, then she'ein l'chadov emar be'olam. There's nothing worse in the world. Yoyse me'ishara than a bad wife. Very, very important statement from the Me'iri, the times that are reshining him. Kol Shekein today, how it definitely affects one's life. And we'll conclude with this chelik of the shir, with a comment from the Chazon Ish. The Sefer Shari Ben Yomin on Chumash, they quote from the Chazon Ish, v'kakablon merab seinu b'shem morna Chazon Ish, sh'aboydik b'kishrei sheduchim, yivdok she'echad min hatzodim ein ba midas akshonus. You want to make sure that no one on the side, i.e. the parents, are akshonim. The akshon b'nakal yachrev beisoy. Akshonis can destroy homes. You're stubborn. You never want to give in. You never want to compromise. That's the worst midah. Says the Chazon Ish, that's something you definitely don't want to see in shiduchim. On any side, akshonis, bad midah. Akshonis is something we want to stay clear. Okay, so these are some of the questions that someone might ask you. No, is the father in action? No, you down with him every. These are, you know, typical. You down with this guy every single day in shul. Is he impossible? Does he always have to get his way? Does he always have to this, that, and the other? These are some of the questions that are at least important. And the purpose of tonight's show is just to lead up to what should people ask. What type of tablecloth they have and stupid things like this are not important. These are important questions. Is he in action? You know, what type of midas does she have? You know, things like that. These are at least questions that are important. Now, we'll have to get to Blineder next week. What happens if you know the answer? And the answer is yes, he's a pain. And yes, he's difficult. What are you supposed to say? Because if you say yes, that says shidduch's over. And this boy or girl will not get married because, as we keep on saying, all these things are so, so important. So how's a boy or girl supposed to get married? If their parents, or if they themselves have character flaws, right? The guy, he's not nice. He's mean. Whatever, this, that, and the other. So that's going to be Blineder. The next week, we'll get to that. But we'll talk about some other shows, at least so far for this week. This was just an intro to what should people even bother asking. People ask some of the most foolish questions I get all the time. I put down for resume for a Talmidim of mine. Some of the questions are just so, you don't know where they're coming from. What are you thinking? This is not important. That's not important. Let's try to stick to things that are at least of some form of substance that will actually make a difference.
Yeah, but you also speak about whether you should offer it up.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the Blineder. Blineder next week. We're going to get into all the nitty gritties. Again, this is really, the Chafetz Chaim did us a favor and laid it all out for us in the Sefer Shemesh Lashon, but we'll get into more specifics of, the answer, the rule of thumb is don't offer more than asked, like every lawyer knows, right? Every client knows, don't say more than you asked, answer whatever you asked. But we'll have to see, it gets a little tricky when it's family. Because we have a dinner, we're b'sorach aloy to salam. You got to take care of your family. If it's a family member that's read a shidduch, and you know, you have a sister that's read to a guy, and you're roommates with him in yeshiva, you know the guy is a disaster. So you're going to say, so the answer is, there's a lot of ways of saying that the shidduch is not a good idea without making him a bad guy. Sometimes you just it's not a shidduch, and they stop pressing you, and don't get pressed. That's not a shidduch. End of story. You don't have to give reasons. You don't have to give backgrounds. But we'll get to that more, I hope, next week. I just want to wrap up with some more interesting things that are still very negeah to this sugya. There's a famous Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin says, number 29, Amar Rav, the Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, also Adam Shikalish Isha at Shirena. A person is not allowed to get married to a woman before he sees her. Why? Because he may not like something about her, and he will be despised. So again, I hate when people ask questions about physical appearances, because it's all up to the person. But I'm just showing you from this Gemara that that is something that should be taken. Meaning, no one should go out with a girl and just, again, dating and marriage are obviously very different. But I'm pointing out that the Gemara takes very seriously the notion of getting married without seeing people. That's not the right way to go. You need to make sure that you are physically attracted to a woman before marrying her. So this is something that is important. Again, sending a picture, I think, is a bad idea. That became very popular today. I'm personally against it. I think it's a very bad idea. It sets up for bad decisions later on. But the Gemara does give it some form of chashivas. And one last famous Gemara about Shidduchim is the Gemara in Tainus. Says the Gemara, Omer Reb Shulchan Achmina Mabiyah Yimusan, Shaloisha Shalu Shloikagin. There are three people who asked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu things incorrectly. The Shnayim Yeshivu Kohagin, two of them got lucky and they got what they wanted. La'echad Yeshivu Shloi Kohagin. One did not get so lucky. Ve'elu hein, Eliezer Eved Avram. V'shel ben Kishvi Yivtech HaGaladi. Eliezer Eved Avram d'chsiv, V'hoi Anar Rasha Omei Le'atino Kadeich. Eliezer had one rule for Shaduch. The one girl who offers me to drink and the animals, she's the girl. Says the Gemara, Yochla Afil Chigeres Esuma. That's a bad rule. What happens if she has all these flaws? Now Tosfos asks over there in Tainus, why are we so focused on physical flaws? What happens if she has all the bad meters that we've been talking about for the last 25 minutes? Why is the Gemara so focused on physical flaws? So Taisus discusses this. So you see from this Gemara that you have to have some form of system to vet and figure out what's a good girl. Can't you say, well, the first girl that walks out of seminary, that's the one I'm going to marry? No, that's not right. You have to do some form of research, some form of looking into to find out what exactly one is getting in the shidduch.
But wouldn't that have been covered by the fact that it says that he's looking for that meter where she's going to offer me water or whatever it may be, so that
in itself. So Tosfos asks, maybe she's a mamzeris. Tosfos asks, maybe she's a mamzeris. Maybe she comes from. So Tosfos says, oh, back then we weren't worried about mamzeris. Now, this Gemara makes it sound like very, very physical based. Chigeris Asuma, she could be a wonderful girl. We're only focused on her physical looks. So Tosfos deals, the Marsha deals with how to read this Gemara. But another shah that's very negeb is manazeb, and this is very sticky. I'm going to make a hagdom over here that absolutely nothing that I'm saying here should be taken halacha l'maaseh. If the shaila ever comes up, please discuss it with your own rav. Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is the number 31 in Eben Ezer, and this is in Eben Ezer. Says the Mechaber number 31. Eze u'mamzer. What's a mamzer? So we know you're not allowed to marry a mamzer. What's a mamzer? Ze'abo me'achas mikol arayis. Anyone who lives within a arayis. Bein mechayvi misas, bein mechayvi krisis. Chutz me'abo me'hanida. A baby that's born from a nida. Let's say you have a man and a woman that are married, but they are not makbid on taras mishpacha, and they have a baby. That baby is called a ben nida. Now, technically, when a husband, even a husband and wife, or anyone that lives with a nida, is chayvi krisis, that should make the baby a mamzer. So nida is the exception. The baby is not a mamzer. So therefore, you can marry the baby. It's not a mamzer. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, chshav apishu pogum, even though the baby's pogum, ain a mamzer afil madra bonon. What does that mean? The baby's pogum. Shulchan Aruch is saying if you have a baby that's born from a relationship where they were not makban atash mishpach and the baby was conceived under nidus, so the baby is not a mamzer, not even a mamzer drabonon, but he has this status called pogum. What do we do with this status? Is that a reason that, let's say for example, a boy is wed to a girl or vice versa, wonderful girl, wonderful boy, her parents are balei tshuva, or her parents are not frum, so they don't know anything about hilchos nida. So presumably, she was conceived from a bas nida. So she's pogum. Pogum means she's, you know, affected. So, why is it different?
It's one thing if you don't keep that halachas, but here they never knew of it.
So that changes the physicality to it?
I mean,
I don't know. We'll see. So what does it mean to be...
Pogum mean anyway?
Right, what does it mean pogum? What does it mean to be pogum? So the Beis Shmuel over here in the Sardar Shulchan Aruch writes, quotes the Darki Moshe, who pogum, they mishpachtem yuchesas. Something wrong with the family. The royal harchik mehem, and stay away from them. Avla any pogum mekayach iser avada. There's no halachic problem with them. Ukshei rafilu kun avada. Technically, letter of the law meikra din. They are as kosher as any other Jew. But there's something there. There's something they're touched. That's what pogum means. Right? Literally, pogum means affected. There's something about them that's not perfect. And therefore, what? What does Rabbi Shmuel write? Stay away from them. Okay, so what do we do with this information? So someone asked Moshe Feinstein. He's read to a wonderful girl, terrific girl, but she's a bas nida. You shouldn't go out with her. Again, I'm not passing the halacha l'maaseh what you do today, but this is a very common shailus. You're dealing with girls that are wonderful girls, but their parents weren't from. What do you want from her? Vice versa. Says Rabbi Moshe in the Tshuva, number 33. Hanochin is daiti meshashaf l'chicha. The afim neima should be bas nida mamish. Afim itznua v'yikara. This girl's wonderful. She is the best girl in the world. She is a top-notch girl. You should actually have to say no to the shidduch. Even though she is a great girl, and the pogum, even though it's in her blood, won't affect her because she can be miskaber. The assumption is that this pogum goes into her, passed on to the next generation. So she's a wonderful girl. She fights the Yetzirah. She doesn't allow it to affect it. But what about the next generation? Says Rashi, if you don't know, let's say you don't know. Do you know for sure she was a bas nida? You don't know for sure. Says Rashi, the gevaldige chiddush. Now you say yourself, what do you mean, Rashi? The parents are not religious. So if they're not religious, you can assume she's a bas nida. Says Rav Moshe, maybe not. Unbelievable. This was the godless of Rav Moshe. Says Rav Moshe, no. V'adei dover ha-motzi, she-b'shosh she-kvar ovu yimei tu-motzi, she-yigal yekap ishmaya, roch tzibiyam. Maybe one of the times after she already was ready to come to her, she went in a lake. And that should count as a tefillah. So says Rav Moshe, she-mayonos u-banaros v'nitara. I, says Rav Moshe, there's one problem. She's wearing a bathing suit. A bathing suit right away is a chatzitza. Says Rav Moshe, a bathing suit is not a chatzitza. V'af ma'isa levusha is a beged shalom yifshas anoshim kishar v'chetzit ma'im u'benaris. Ein ze dover ha'chotzis. It's not really a chatzitza, says Rav Moshe. V'oz nis'abra mi'balo, she got pregnant from her husband, she nimtza shalom ha'isa nida, b'sha shashimsha im'balo, v'nis'abra im'bazu. This is the galus of Rav Moshe Feinstein. None of us would have thought like this. We say, well, come on. Come on, what are you talking about? Let's, statistically speaking, she's a bas nida. What are you going to do? So Rav Moshe's mom is bending over backwards to try to justify. Maybe she's not a bas nida. Maybe punked. It happened to work out that right before she was conceived, they were on vacation and she went down to the water right after, you know, 7 days passed. There's a lot of what ifs in this equation. There's a lot of what ifs in this Rav Moshe. And then he said, "V'kivin the Chazal nostam miseches kala simonim leben hanida." Listen to this. In miseches kala, the Gemara gives you simonim to who's a ben nida. What are the simonim? The Yeshua Meduhu as ponim. He's a chutzpinyak. As ponim. V'chein usav ha-harama v'shochanach dekasu shu pogum. Shepogom ahu. So says the Rav Moshe, what does it mean to be a pogum? What do you mean he's affected? He says his character traits are affected. He doesn't act like a regular Ben Yisrael. Kibavur, he quotes over here, says Rav Moshe, v'afim neimishar belozer sh'az ponim umamzer v'akiva dam umamzer v'anid ale pogum. Okay, fine. Says Rav Moshe, l'chein niyishim ayu isa deraisa. Rav Moshe says the following one. If this would be a din deraisa, 100%. But says Rav Moshe, as long as this boy or girl does not show traits of azus ponim, you can assume she's not a ben or bas nida. This is Mamash Rav Moshe bending over backwards. Says Rav Moshe, if you're read to a boy or girl, and they're wonderful kids, no chutzpah in their bones, nothing, they're the sweetest kids you ever met. You don't have to be choshes that they're a better bas nida. Their parents aren't from. Yeah, but maybe mom went to the swimming pool, I eat a hare in a lake, in a river. Rav Moshe has a whole stickle. So Rav Moshe says, well, one second. Since when do these type of simonim work? Says Rav Moshe, because it's only derabbanan. It's not even a drabbon, it's a whatever. It's whatever this is. So Rav Moshe says, I think you have no problem if the boy and girl present as wonderful, terrific girls. Don't be chayshish for it at all, because the simin of a ben nida or bas nida is the azus. If they don't express the azus, it's not a problem. That's Rav Moshe's psak. So he writes at the end. So he says, v'chein, if you see that they're wonderful people, you can be saying that they're not ben nida. Avsha harov ahim avrayonim. Even if the parents are avrayonim, shum shaleka b'zeh oy boy simonim de ben oy bas nida. Gevaldig, gevaldig, chiddush Rav Moshe Feinstein.
This step. The first thing about the being in the ocean.
No, he puts that together. He says it must be that they're not. No, he says that it must be that they're not. The stipler goes a whole different route. The stipler says, similar to Rav Moshe, but he goes, forget the whole going in the ocean. He says, like you want to say, if you see that they're good kids, they obviously weren't affected. This din of a pogum doesn't mean automatically. Look, the stipler, gevaldig, chiddush. It doesn't mean every child conceived from a nida is a bad child. It means there's a stronger, higher likelihood. This kid beat the system. So says the stipler, if you see a kid who's a wonderful kid, So yes, the parents were clearly not like Rav Moshe, who's trying to create a mitzvah that the parents were. No question. The parents were nida the whole way through. But it doesn't matter, because it's not necessarily something that passes down generation. And then the stipple has the next piece, in number 35, he discusses, is this pogrom passed down generation to generation? So he says, of course it does not. It stops at the first generation. That's it. The next kids are going to be terrific and wonderful. He says, but I found it a safer Oitzer HaPoiskim, who says otherwise. Says the stipple, I don't know. To me, it's pashut. It stops after one generation. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky as well. Even if you want to be choshish for this, it stops at the first generation. The grandkids will not be affected. So the shayla we'll have to get to next week, to which Reb Zilberstein talks about, is what happens if you perhaps know the background. And you know that the parents are not makom atash mishpacha. Is this something you should tell? Is this something that's important to know? You don't want them to be a pogrom. Is this something worth mentioning if you know, or they, let's say they ask you, are the parents makom atash mishpacha? So the simple answer is, I have no idea. How am I supposed to know what goes on in someone's private life? But we'll see this. Reb Zilberstein has a very creative shayla where a couple accidentally followed a wrong psak. They did something wrong, and they think that perhaps their child was formed from a nida case. They want to know, do they have to tell for shidduch? Which means he's assuming it's even when you're accidental, not only when you're an avagin. So, Blinei, the next week we'll talk about all the very uncomfortable shaylas of when and what to say. But this week was just a hakdama, what to talk about.